we are living stones, Lord God, and you are working in all of our lives, Lord, that you just want to show us something and equip us, Lord God, and in a place of safety that we can just come to you this morning, Lord Jesus. Amen. Welcome. I want to ask you just quickly, greet someone that you haven't said good morning to. Go to someone and greet someone you haven't greeted this morning. Everyone feel welcome. If anyone was skipped, or anyone does still not feel welcome, please raise your hand and we will come and welcome you. It's good to have all of you guys here. This morning, you know, we never know what God is going to do, and we can never, I almost want to say, you know, sometimes Jesus spit on the ground and then he took the mud and he put it on someone's eyes and then the healing came. And sometimes, you know, it happened in different ways, you know. So we can never think what worked last time will work this time again, or even in the first church service to the second one. We never know what God is going to do. But what I want to tell you is it's been an interesting week. It's been a good week, nice and busy week. And Let me read you the first scripture, and in a sense, I almost want to say, let's see what God is going to do, because in the first service, I totally, in a sense, walked away from my prepared sermon, just shared a few scriptures from there, because the ministry was different what happened there. Now, I know God is in control, and I know the Holy Spirit knows what He wants to do, so you can read with me. We'll be there at the back as well, from Revelation 4. Chapter 4, verse 1. After this I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven, and the first voice, which I had heard speaking to me like a trumpet, said, "Come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this." You know, and this is that place, you know, where John, you know, it's a type of a revelation, something that he saw. But the part I really want to focus in, something that has been in my heart this week, was that last part. Come up here and I will show you. You know, and that's the sermon, the message this morning isn't about hearing God's voice or how to hear God's voice or something like that. It's more about what does God want to show you, you know. And as I said, sometimes it's interesting but also challenging. The two church services doesn't always work out the same. So, but it's something about what God is, what is on His heart, and what He wants to reveal to us, what He wants to show to us. And I know this morning that I can say to you, God has always got something that He wants you to see. Amen? There's always something of His heart that He wants to reveal to you. You can read it in Scripture. God will give it by revelation to you. Or there's something about your own heart God wants you to see. Okay, it's not just His heart, it's also our hearts that we sometimes have to do the look in the mirror exercise and to see what is in our own hearts. Secondly, I want to quickly go on and then I'll explain a little bit more. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 1 to 4. I must go on boasting. Though there is nothing to be gained by it, I will go on to visions and revelations of God. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And I know that this man was caught up into paradise, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And he heard things that cannot be told, which man may not utter. Now, I mean, all of us were small children at a certain stage. Now, it's almost like telling a 5-year-old or a 10-year-old, listen, I've got a present for you, but I'm only going to give it in 2 weeks' time. Usually kids will freak out. You can't do that. You can't tell them, I've got a present to you, but you will only get it in a week's time. Maybe some of our adults even hate that situation. I see some heads, you know. It's something, and now Paul is almost doing this type of a thing. He's saying here, listen, I was caught up here, and he's talking about himself. I saw certain things, but I can't tell you. Now, it's like, come on, Paul, just give us a little bit about what you saw there. And obviously, it's challenging to us, but there's a very good reason why it shouldn't be revealed. It's also the same with John, you know, it's the thing in Revelation, talking about things that still needs to happen. Now, I'm sure, you know, if you see something like this, or in Paul's case, you know, it must have had an influence on his life, his theology. Because he saw something there, it says, in paradise. And then obviously he can't write it down, but that doesn't mean he didn't see it. So if you have a special moment and you're not allowed to tell someone, and remember, a secret is only a secret if only you know about it, the biggest mistake you can do is, I'll tell you, but don't tell anyone else. Then usually that story goes on. Isn't it true? So Paul does the right thing here, and he keeps his word, and he doesn't give us the answer. But there's something, it must have had an influence. And I think, friends, this morning, you know, when Paul was in jail, when he knew that maybe he was, thank you, that he were to be executed, he went through tough times, he was shipwrecked, he was beaten with rods, a lot of bad things happened to him. And I believe he could hold on to those things, even if he weren't able to share it and write it down in the Gospels. It must have been something very special that he saw there in paradise. You agree with me? Something that he could hold close to his heart. And I think all of us have got memories, certain times in our lives, things that we can, that we treasure, things that we put in our hearts. Maybe you're having a great time with friends or something, and you wish the time won't go away or won't pass by so quickly. You know, that you just want to stay in that moment. Maybe it's a holiday, maybe it's something special, maybe it's a worship service or something really biblical. But Paul had something there. Paul had something there. Now, what I want to share about this morning is that scripture, come up here and I will show you. And I believe it's something, and I'll try to explain my heart. Tuesday morning we had intercession, and then, you know, we usually come together and we pray, or we had some coffee, and then we worship, and then usually we pray. And we started praying, and then I got a scripture that I, in Romans 8, that I thought is kind of weird. I didn't know how it fits in. And then the lady that led us to worship, in the next moment, and some of you were there, then she just said that, you know, let's just worship in the Spirit. And it was the same thing that was in my heart, and I feel that God just binded hearts together so much. You know, when we worship in the Spirit, then we really come into unity, into something special in a special place. Now, just concerning, or let me read you another scripture, and then I'll go on explaining again. In 1 Kings 19, verse 9, there he came to a cave and lodged in it. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him. And he said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? He said, I've been very jealous for the Lord, the God of hosts. For the people of Israel have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And then in verse 11 to 13, and he said, go out and stand on the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and the great and strong wind tore the mountains and broke in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, the sound of a low whisper. Some other translation says, a still small voice. And then in verse 13, and when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And behold, there came a voice to him and said, what are you doing here, Elijah? And you know, it just speaks of, sometimes I believe, because the world we live in, I live there in Olympia, and sometimes, especially on Friday nights, or then I just get very sinful thoughts in my head. because there's the Hagiganikov rugby stadium is close by, and sometimes these music shows or stuff, and they don't end 9 o'clock like I want them to end. They end at 10 or 11 or a certain time that I want to sleep, and I don't want to listen to whatever music is being played there. And I think, like, how will I maybe stop it? Must I pray that the power fail? But that's not a good thing to do. Maybe other people paid for that. But nevertheless, you know, it's those loud sounds that we are all very accustomed to these days. But God's voice came in the still small voice. And I think maybe it will be easier. I remember the one time that it must have been this type of a heavy metal band where the guy's like, rawr, rawr, you know, it sounds like that type of music. And I thought, how can the municipality or whoever allow those type of music? There's demons coming from that music. But nevertheless, but I think it's easier if we could listen to the fire and the wind and the earthquake, the loud things, and hear God's voice. But now it comes in the still, small voice. And it is just amazing this week. As I usually when I preach, I start the week and I say, Lord, show me what is on your heart. Show me what you want to do or what must happen in church. And I want to take another route now. Last year, I think it was about October or sometime, I can't remember precisely. There was a lady, my wife has got in her house, she's got a hair salon, and you know, the lady cut her hair for probably a year before the time. She's a French lady working at the embassy here. And then she came to my wife and asked her, but I put it on Facebook, and I think I mentioned it before in church. And she asked my wife, but you've got something I don't have, and I don't understand. What is that? Okay, and obviously, it's the Holy Spirit, you know, it's Christ inside. And then my wife tried to explain, but I remember she came, it was about 4 o'clock or something, and she came to my office, which is also at home, and she, it looks like if she saw like a ghost, because she was like, not white in her face, well, she's obviously white in her face, but, you know, kind of from fright or something. And she said, no, I must quickly come, I must explain something to this lady. And to cut the long story short, you know, we ministered to her and prayed for salvation in the Holy Spirit, and it was really precious. And then she came to church, and the first time, I think when she came, it was on the 8th of December last year. And I remember she stood there, and the whole time she was just crying, you know. But it was about God's presence, something that was she was so hungry for, and something she really wanted. But she didn't understood it before the time. And many times in life, I think people go and look in strange places for fulfillment, where God actually wants us to come to Him. You know, that we can get our fulfillment from Him and in relationship from Him. But nevertheless, we walked the road with them, and I remember that first day after we prayed for her, and it was just tears and something really beautiful. I remember she told me, and then her husband came to fetch, also a French guy, they work here at the embassy. And I remember she told me, but he's very against the gospel. You know, he's not very open to that. He won't be like negative against her, but you know, he's not very open to that. And then, yes, we ministered to them and saw them a few times. And I remember after that first time she was in church, she came here to the front to me and my wife, and she said, "I want to get married. I want to get married." Okay. And it's like usually that's a challenging one because for a lot of reasons. But they've been, I think they're in their early 40s, and they've been living together for quite a while. I've got a beautiful little son. And something here in church happened where God spoke to her heart, and she just knew she wanted a Christian wedding. You know, just not just because of the white dress and the everything, because it's something the Holy Spirit revealed to her, something that she wants, you know, something she knew it was the right thing to do. And then we started walking around with them, and then they asked us if we can marry them now this past weekend, and I saw them a few times, and we talked about everything. And the amazing thing was to see how, well, she grew a lot in my opinion, you know. And then, but her husband, now I would say he's not there yet exactly, but to see how his heart has changed from really being like resisting to being open to what God is doing in his life. And you know, friends, me and my wife, I think I know her now for about 9 years. And yesterday afternoon, we did the wedding here, just a small group of people outside Windhoek. And I think my wife cried about half of the time. You know, not because it was beautiful, but because God's presence was there. tangible, very tangible. And in a sense, that is, how would I say, you know, usually in a church with a lot of people, music playing, you expect it, you know, but we can't put God's presence in a box and click our fingers and then it's there and then it's gone. It's something that God does. It's His presence, isn't it? And you know, I stood there and it was challenging in many ways because I was going to speak in English. We were only four Namibian people. The rest was French. So obviously, you know, I don't speak any French. I know one or two French words by now. But we had a translator, and then obviously the lady, the bride, she actually also, I think about a quarter of the time, she helped the translator just to get the message across. So it wasn't something flowing. It was something like a person learning to drive. It went like that, you know, but it was still beautiful. And I'll go as far as to say, I know I didn't preach really good. I preached what was on my heart, but it was difficult because I said two sentences. Then Letitia, the translator, tried, and if she didn't get it right, then, I mean, we did practice before the time, then the bride did it. Okay, so you hear what I'm saying? It was a bit of a challenge in that sense. But you know what? God's presence was there. It was there, and I know it's just how God uses people. And most people there, all people there, except me and my wife, probably were not really believers. It's just people, you know? And to see how many people came afterwards, and to say, but wow, it was special and stuff. But I know it was God who was touching people's hearts there. And you know, I believe there's a lot of good seeds that were sown. Now, I stood there and I remember just before the time we went again through some of the scriptures I was going to use, and the translator, you know, got hold of a French Bible. And I, you know, we kind of worked things out. But 5 minutes before the time, you know, I saw this is going to be tough because some things just get lost in translation. So I really kept it very simple. But the beautiful thing was, as I said, I could see God's presence there. It was just there. And I'll go as far to say, those were some of the most sincere wedding vows I ever saw. And it's because they didn't have to get married. You know, it's in France these days, it's not custom to do a Christian wedding. You are just together in a sense, and you do some things in court, but nothing biblical, nothing godly in that sense. So I believe they counted the cost. And you know, there's that part, if you know the wedding vows we use, that where you say, and your God shall be my God. And the husband, he's not really a very, I would say, sensitive type of guy in a certain way, or a crying type of guy. Typical, maybe a Namibian man, I don't know. Does Namibian man cry? Men cry? Nauseous? Does men cry? Sometimes? No. Nevertheless, Johnny cry. Yes, Johnny cry often. Johnny is a real baby. We know him, but we love him. But it's good. God's in it. But you know, and I saw that part specifically. We had to say, and your God will be my God. And I saw he weighed those words. He didn't just say it because he had to say it. He said it because he wanted to say that. You know, when God looks at people's hearts, God looks at our hearts, not our skills, our whatever. He looks at our hearts. And I believe, I just saw that yesterday, and I think that is something from their hearts. The cost that they counted of making this decision was, as I said, it was so sincere. And I believe that must, I don't know, as I say, God's presence is something we can't just like fabricate. But it was beautiful, it was there. Now to come back to us here this morning, also in the first service, there was just people coming to the front. Now I'm just sharing what happened. And the point I want to make is, yesterday, 2 minutes before we started with the sermon at the wedding, I knew, I just said in my heart, Lord, let your will be done, let your kingdom come. This thing is going to be tough. You know, but please let your presence be here. It's almost that dying to yourself type of a thing. And it was so beautiful. And you know, I had kind of a busy week, really. And this morning also in the worship, I just felt like, Lord, you know, it's your church. Please do what is on your heart. You know, I believe it was beautiful. And I've got actually a testimony to share with you about just God, how God ministered to his people. Now, I believe this morning, you know, that there's something that God wants all of us to see. And sometimes we are looking at many places and then we are running around and then suddenly we want to go and sit down and then we want to get a word from God because we must make a decision or something, and then it's real tough, you know, versus being in God, in tune with God, walking with Him, being in step with the Spirit. And Tuesday morning after intercession, I remember I stood outside my office with a cup of coffee, and then I just felt in my heart God asking me, do you only believe in the things that you can see? Now, usually when a question like that comes, it's like, but I know God, I don't see you physically in that sense, but I know you are here and you move. So it's not a difficult question to answer, but I think it's something, you know, when God gives us a question like that, He wants us to think about it. He wants us to meditate on it. Because there's something, it's not about the obvious. There's something He wants us to see. And then probably an hour later, Yaku, our pastor in Shafa, pastor in Swakopmund, found me. And then we started talking. And then he just shared what was on his heart about, you know, a few things regarding the Holy Spirit and what he feel, you know, or what he's trusting God for in Shafa, Swakopmund. And I said to him, but, you know, it's really interesting because this morning, that was Tuesday morning after intercession, we just spontaneously went to worshiping in the Spirit. And I believe we left there. And I think if we had another hour or two and people didn't have to go to work, we would have just continued. Amen? So it's something God is doing. It's about His presence and in our lives. And I remember in 2010 or 11, some of you were there. We went also to Shafar Swakopmund, and Pastor C.S. LaRue were doing the School of the Supernatural. I think Priska, you went with Lachia, some of you guys. I think Leanne, you also went. Yes. And Harry also. And I remember the one thing Pastor C.S. said that day, which I still remember, is, you know, is regarding our attitude towards the gifts of the Holy Spirit. If we are very ignorant about it, you know, there's not a lot that will probably happen in our lives. Now, obviously, you can be saved and not really flow in the gifts, but it's just so much better for the work of the ministry to be able to flow in the gifts. Now, that comes back to, I believe, I just felt that question in my heart where God just asked me, do you believe in the things you can't see? Let me read you the whole part or the four scriptures I got that Tuesday in intercession. Now hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what they see? That's from the English Standard Version. The NIV says, who hopes for what they already have? So if I were to hope for a glass of water, it will be stupid hope because I already have the glass of water. But listen here what it says in verse 25. But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. And that's usually more challenging to hope for something, to wait for something that is not there yet, something you can't see, a promise God gave you, something God showed you sometime in your life, something God wants to do through your life, but it's not there yet. That is usually a lot more challenging. Also here in Genesis 22 verse 1, we see, after these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, here I am. Now you see, that's the whole story which I'm not going to read about Abraham who had to sacrifice Isaac. Now, if Abraham knew the moment God spoke to him, if God said to him, listen, I'm going to give you a sacrifice. I'm going to give you a ram or a sheep or something to be sacrificed. Then it would have been not such a bad exercise. But the fact that he didn't know, God only said to him, take your son and go and prepare to sacrifice him. That is like that stuff. But now God didn't do it that way. He didn't give the solution. He tested him. Now God doesn't tempt us. There's a difference, eh? God will not tempt you to sin. That's not God. That's the other God. Okay? God will test us sometimes to see our obedience, to see where our heart is at. And that is usually that's tough times. You see, it's tough times like Paul had maybe throughout his ministry. We see all the examples he gives us about being shipwrecked and all that stuff. And then I see, as I said, you could hold on to those things he saw probably, the Jesus he knew. So in our own lives, I want to encourage you this morning. We also read here in Hebrews 10, verse 23. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. And that is God. God's ways is higher than our ways. We don't always know and understand in what way, in what season, God is going to give, come through for you or provide for you. God's, many times, he will send you to a place. I remember, I can't remember exactly now the name. Maybe you can help me. I think it was not Charles Finley. It was one of those guys, he went from America and he went to somewhere in the Philippines or somewhere to do missionary work. And after 7 years, the first convert came. The first person that gave his life to the Lord. Now, I think between year 1 and 5 or 6, he many times must have thought, God, I missed you. It's not working. It's not happening. But then it started to come. And then later on, you could see how the church there have grown. And many times in our own lives, we've got something in our hearts. We do it. And then we come to a place. And then we think like, God, we are missing you. We missed you here. It's like God sending the Israelite, the nation of Israel, out of Egypt, out of slavery, to the promised land. And then there's 40 years in the desert. You know, and sometimes we are there as well, where we think like we look in the natural and then we try to figure out, did we take the right turn or not? Doesn't work like that always. What does this mean? When we are waiting for a promise to be fulfilled, we can't give up that easily. When our promises are tested by circumstances or time, it's crucial that we know that God is faithful. That means he will always remain loyal and steadfast. That is the God we serve. So I want to encourage you, if you feel God is calling you and he's telling you, and I believe it's something for every one of us, and God is calling you and he says, come up here, I want to show you something. Now, I remember when I was, I think most guys that is engaged, maybe like Johnny, or anyone else does things like that, where he takes a basket with juice or red wine and something nice in it, and then he takes his girlfriend or fiancé to a place and for a picnic or something special. You like that, ladies? Must we? Yes, ladies like that. And then there's a beautiful view or a beautiful landscape. And then it's like, do you see? It's beautiful, you know, something that you want to see. And so I believe God wants us to come to him, and there's something he wants us to see. And then we see it, okay? How many times I've seen this thing in my life and in other people's lives? We get $1 million today, tomorrow, 5 days along the line. God, life is not good. My boss, my wife, my this, my dad, we do those things. We moan and that's why a whole generation had to die in the desert because of their hearts, you know. And let us not be like that, because we read here in Hebrews 12 verse 2, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Now Jesus is the founder and the perfecter of our faith. Jesus will not just leave us alone. He will not just leave us on our own. God is working all the time in our lives. He's starting this thing in our lives, and he will walk it until the end, until we are perfect one day, you know, in that sense. Now, just to come back, the scripture I read in intercession on Tuesday, I thought like, God, this is a strange word that you're giving to me. And let me read it to you. It's from Romans 8, verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. Now, if I were to ask all of you, what does that groanings too deep for words mean? We'll probably get a few different answers here. People will give a different explanation. And I went home and I thought, like, God, do you want me to preach on this? And then I started to take my dictionaries and my exegetical commentaries, and I went through it. And then whether you are from the evangelical side or you're a cessationist, that means he doesn't believe in the gifts of the Spirit anymore, that it was only for the times of Acts. Depending which book you read and who wrote it, you'll get a different answer. I'm like, God, but I don't understand this thing. And then he came back to me where I felt the Lord laid later in my heart on that Tuesday, the thing about, do you only believe in the things you can see? And I believe it's not this morning about just like the groaning or whatever that means, that's not the aim of the message. It's about trusting God for the things unseen, the things that God wants to do, that wedding that you go to where you, in a sense, don't expect it, but you see God's promise there, God's presence there, God working there, you know. And when we worshiped or prayed in the previous service, some of you, maybe you've seen those satellite photos taken at night of the world. Then you can see all the dark parts, and then you can see everywhere where there's big cities or there's fires burning or stuff like that, and you see all these flames. And that's the type of picture I just saw about God working all over. God is at work all the time, you know. And sometimes it's just leading someone to step one, setting someone up somewhere with a hairdresser where you can see God's presence is in that person's life, you know. And that's just so blessed, something that I just like so much. Because with our intellect, friends, we can't discover God's will for our lives just with our intellect. Here in Romans, just the next scripture, the next verse, Romans 8 verse 27. And he who searches hearts knows that it's the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And it says basically the Spirit will lead us, because in our own natural ability, we don't always know what the will of God is. It must be something spiritual that God comes and God shows us. It's something we have to tap in. It's something that we need to make sure of. So this morning, I believe, just for all of us, and you know what, it's not something I can give you the answer to. I tried to ask the Afrikaans people what was the you know, when you write a sentence and at the end of the sentence you put like dot, dot, dot. What do you call that? Do you know what I mean? It's like an open-ended sentence or something. Sorry? Yeah, but basically also kind of you must come to your own conclusion. It kind of ends three quarters of the way and then you must fill in the rest. Now here you've got work this morning. You need to fill in the rest. You must kind of ask God, like, God, what do you want to show me this morning? As I said, it's not about hearing God's voice. I speak it and I trust we can all do that or have a sense when God is speaking to us. But what does he want to show you right now? And I remember last year at the Pastor Summit, there was some of the pastors that were called forward just to testify about churches that went through a tough time for whatever reason and then really breakthrough come. And I remember one of the guys, Niels, he did a ministry program with me in 2010. And I remember he just testified. You know, he said he was at the stage in their church and he just felt like nothing was working and everyone was difficult and stuff like that. And then he just said he had to go back to the promises that God gave him before he went into ministry. You know, it's like almost if you sit with two people and they are married and they are worlds apart and the relationship isn't at a good place, then you must go back to those I do's, those vows, where you say in good times and in bad, in prosperity and in tough times, you know, I will be with you. I make a commitment to walk with you. And God is the same. God makes a commitment the day we give our lives to him to walk with us all the way. He doesn't just leave us or forsake us. He walks with us. It's usually from our human side where we walk away. And maybe you know people like that, but I know one or two people that I've heard from their mouths, they would say something God has given them or showed them. And 5 years later, they doubt if God still exists even, you know. And this thing is this thing where we need to hold on to what God gives us. And in good times, it's usually easy. But in tough times, it gets tougher when things doesn't seem to work out. I heard this past week. I love it to be part of church and to work in church, if I could call it like that. But in two instances, there were stuff that I asked people, and the two men came back to me and they said, I'll pray about pastor and I'll come back to you. Something I asked him to do or to be part of or whatever. Now, when someone says, I'll go and pray about it and I'll come back to you, when they say yes, you can leave them in autopilot, because then they heard God's voice. You know, if you feel not now, that's cool. I'll respect that. But you know, if you come back with a revelation and you says, yes, I want to go to Rundu Missions, then I don't have to ask you every week, are you still going? Are you still going? Are you motivated? No, I can leave you, because it's between you and God now. If I ask you, have to be a something like a leader in church or a leader of a ministry or something, and you pray about it and you say, I believe God is calling me into this thing. And you count the cost, and then when you say yes, it's really easy for me, because I don't have to kind of like a five-year-old that my kids, I have to tell them, clean up your room, but they will grow, they will understand it. But for us, we need to make sure what the things between us and God is, what God called us for, you know. And we read it here in Philippians. I want to read two different translations to you. Philippians 2, verse 13, first from the NIV. It says, it will be there at the back, "For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose." And then also in verse 13, just from the Amplified Bible, it says between brackets, "Not in your own strength, for it is God Not in your own strength, for it is God who is all the while effectively at work in you, energizing and creating in you the power and desire, both to will and to work for his good pleasure and satisfaction and the like." So we see it's God working in our lives all the time. God is busy with us. God is busy saying something, guiding you, working, sharing something in your life, okay? And because God has got a purpose for us. You know why? We are not dead people here. We are spiritual people. We're the church. We are the temple. We are the body of Christ. And we read it again in 1 Peter 2, verse 4 and 5. It says, "As you come to him, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." And it's just this beautiful thing where God is building these living stones together. I mean, it's not like an Old Testament type of building, you know, when that it was void of God and then God's presence had to come in. You know, God's presence is inside of us. We are his temple, and he's building this temple all together all the time. There was also a word on our Watchman's blog that I just want to read to you this morning, just a sentence or three, something we received this past week or two. And it was to trust God for a new, fresh infilling of the spirit of wisdom and revelation into the knowledge of God, for a spirit of understanding and the spirit of truth that will help us to discern strange spirits that want to come and squat in our lives and defile the church. You know, and where we have to be vigilant for like a strange thing to come into your life that it's defiling you, that it's taking something away from you. The opposite is obviously something where you know you can hear God's voice and where he's leading you and the promises that he's giving to you. So this morning, friends, it's a kind of a difficult thing I want to share with you, because it's not just a teaching about the five steps to type of a thing. It's something where God is at work among us all the time, you know, and this past week it was just so clear and easy to see, you know, God is calling us. Also, you can read it and go and read in Romans 1 verse 19 or 20, where we can see almost in the world that God created, Paul says there's no excuse, because in all the things God created in his handiwork, we can see God's face in that, in a sense. Okay, so this morning, I want to encourage you, for all of us, you know, to go to God and to kind of ask him, "Lord, what do you want me to see? Because I promise you, you're a living stone. You can stand on God's word. There's something that God wants to show you." Or maybe you need to revisit something that God has given you a year or 5 or 10 ago. Something that when you first got born again, you were excited about. Something he placed in your heart. And maybe because of life and stuff happening, the picture, it got dim. It's not a light shining that bright anymore in your life. It's something that has dimmed a bit. And maybe you need to go this morning and revisit it and ask God, that passion you gave me for working with your little children or older people or reaching the lost, or I don't know what it is, you know. But God gives those seeds in our hearts. We think sometimes it's about our lives and our marriages and work and kids and finances and stuff. But there's a much bigger picture. Try to see that picture of at nighttime the whole world, and here's a flame and there's a light. That way, where God is working all things together for His purpose, for His good, His plan. And you know, I said it many times, I love reading newspapers. And sometimes, especially right now, the past 2 weeks, if you read the South African newspapers, it just seems like things are going from worse to worse in many ways. And you think like, God, but you're in control. What's happening? But you know, God is in control. Nothing will happen in this world, and it will be a surprise to God. He knows about everything. You see, so we shouldn't just judge the obvious things on the things that we see with our eyes. You must listen with your heart. Listen with your spirit. What God is speaking to us right now. And I believe as we come into that corporate thing about knowing what God is saying to you, it will just make the church stronger. It will make the fellowship stronger. You with me? It's something, that open-ended question, where I want to leave or stop at this morning and ask you to go to God and ask Him those things. And He will show it to you. James 4 verse 8 says, if you draw near to God, He will draw near to you. Don't believe a lie that God doesn't want to speak to you. Don't believe a lie that God doesn't have a plan or purpose for you. I just saw with those two people yesterday at the wedding. They didn't start things right in many ways. But God is okay with that in a sense, because it's about coming into the right place, into the right relationship. About seeing in those people's eyes the commitment they are ready to make right now. Not what they got wrong. There's mercy and there's grace for those things. Okay? Because God looks at our hearts. So this morning I want to encourage you. It's something I don't believe in that context I should give a word for each one of you. Or sell it even. That's a joke. But there's something that you need to find from God this morning. I believe God is calling all of us to that. Let's pray together. Father, this morning it's something that must happen in the spirit, Lord. Something not in our flesh. Lord, we shouldn't look at a 5-point plan or about the things that are highest on our priority list, Lord. It's about the things on your hearts for each one of us, Lord God. Lord, I just believe and feel, Lord, that you want to call us to a place, Lord God, a place where you want us to say to us, come up and see. I want to show you something. Father, and I believe that must have an impact on our lives. It must change us, Lord God. We can't go visionless or purposeless just from day to day, trying to cope, trying to survive, Lord God. We need to click into what you have for us, Lord. And daily we need to intercede for that, Lord. And while we are waiting sometimes, Lord, for things to come to pass, Lord, thank you that we can know that you make promises of faithful, that you will never leave us nor forsake us. Lord God, that your plans that you have for us is good, Lord God. Even though we go through tough times sometimes, Lord, it's still something good that you have for us. And I pray that we will not get discouraged, Lord. You are the author and the perfecter of our faith, Lord God. Yes, Lord God, and I pray, Lord, for every person here this morning, Lord, whether it's right now or in the week to come, Lord, that you will just refresh a revelation you have given to us, Lord, about our calling, about our purpose in life. Ephesians 4 says, we are all called, Lord God. Father, you don't just want to work in some people's lives. Your heart is for all to be saved and to come to the fullness of the glory of God, Lord. And Father, it's exciting for us to know, Lord God, that even if we fail, Father, and even if we fall short, Lord, that you want to use us. That you want to use us, Lord, as living stones and build us together. Lord, that at the moment that we don't expect it, that you want to use us somewhere, that you want to plant us somewhere, that you want someone to see something through our lives, Lord God. And I pray, Lord God, that sometimes where we become ignorant and we only want to believe what we can see, Lord, but that we will listen not to the fire and the earthquake and the wind, Lord, but to that still small voice, Lord God, that you are speaking. Father, there's so many voices these days saying you don't exist, Lord, and you don't speak anymore, and signs and wonders are not for today anymore. But Lord, we don't believe that because we believe in your word. We believe in scripture. We believe in what you have given us, Lord. And Father, as a church, Lord, as individuals, Lord, we want to stand on the promises that you give us, Lord. Sometimes we just see the pain and the suffering and the tough things, Lord. But I pray, raise that thing before our eyes again. Father, and I pray for every person here this morning which became disillusioned, Lord God, or doesn't have a purpose or a vision anymore, Lord God, that you will impart to them right now, Lord God, that that spirit of wisdom and revelation will come right now, Lord. And any bad spirit squatting in our lives, we say in the name of Jesus Christ, leave right now. And I pray that we will open our hearts to you, for you to minister to us, to give us revelation, to open our eyesight, Lord God. And Father, that we will be like those people that go back and say, Pastor, I will pray about it. And Lord, when we come back and we have a yes in our hearts, that we will run with that, Lord God. That we will fulfill the purpose that you called us for, Lord God. And Father, we see in Hebrews, Lord God, with of your hall of fame, Lord, we see all the heroes of faith, people who have laid down their lives and counted the cost and make mistakes, even Samson and David, Lord God. But Lord, you choose to use them, Lord God. And you, at a certain time, Lord, you gave them a dream and a vision and a purpose, Lord God. And Father, I pray that we will hold on to what you have given us, Lord God, to that seed that was sown, Lord God. And I pray, Lord God, that we can run with that we can be excited about it. Lord, the things you give us are so much of more worth than the things that is in the natural, Lord God. Lord, I pray for a work in our hearts this morning, Lord God, for something, Lord God, that we don't even have to lay on hands this morning, but that you are speaking to everyone right now, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. I want to ask you, as you sit here this morning, just maybe to be quiet. Adrian, if you can just come and maybe just play on the guitar for a moment. And just as you sit here, maybe just close your eyes and don't try now to figure out what God has for you. Just relax. Just sit still for a moment and just listen what the Lord is speaking to you. And then I'll stay here at the front. I'll be here. And if there's something you feel you want to agree with, or want you to be prayed for, I'll be here.
Dropped in my spirit, and I think I heard it for quite a long time, but I kept saying that I can't share it now. What if it's not in line and all that? But I just feel there's somebody or people here that you feel condemned about things you did in the past, and that God cannot use you, like you're insignificant, like you feel like, oh, I did this, and the enemy keeps reminding you that you're dirty, you're unworthy. And I want to tell you that the day you gave your life to Christ, the blood of Jesus has cleansed you. It has made you white as snow. And God wants to use you. Don't feel accused, because the Bible says that we are unaccused. We stand unashamed before God. And He loves us so much to death that He could send His Son. And God wants to use you in so many ways. He wants you to share your testimony to the world. And it's those little things that the world can look at. It is the weak things that God wants to use and show the world that He is able. I just want to read a verse in Psalms that says that some trust in chariots and some in horses. Psalms 20 verse 17. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. They are brought down and fallen, but we are risen and stand upright. That's in verse 8. So regardless, we trust in God, and He is the one that is able. And then there's a specific verse that also comes on my mind. I think it's in the Psalms, where it says the thoughts that God has towards you are precious. They are so countless. They can't be numbered. That's how God thinks about you. his thoughts towards you. He's not angry at you. He doesn't hate you, but he has precious thoughts towards you.
Friday, I just discovered that I actually, usually every month on the 20th, we pay tax over to the receiver. And then with Polly, we pay what we call withholding tax. And then I just discovered that while doing my calculations in December, I actually did a mistake. And I overpaid with, but not such a big amount. And then in the morning, I was very, very stressed about it. I was unable to do anything up until like 12 or 1 o'clock. And then I called my one friend and I told her about it. And then she just calmed me down over the phone. And then she sent me an SMS later on saying that, you know, just pray in tongues before you go talk to your boss about it. And then after lunch, I came a bit early and then I sat and I just prayed. And as I was praying, I was just reminded of God's peace that surpasses all understanding. And then I just said, Lord, you know, I've messed up here. And you also do promise that the road won't be as that easy. I mean, challenges will come. But right here in the storm, in this boat, in the circumstance that I find myself in, I thank you that you are still Lord over this thing. And I thank you that you will still, you know, guide me through this and solve this issue out. So I won't really give myself such a headache about it. So when Pastor was preaching about when you make a commitment to someone, you know, tough time will come. At times it will be good moments. Like, he just reminded me of that, you know, like, even in our walk with God, there will be good times. There will be times when things are really going wrong, when you feel like, God, what have I done wrong here? But I think when you just remind yourself that, God, you are still God over the storm in this boat, Jesus is in it. And when you just commit it to him, I feel that he really just takes care of everything.
Just sit for a few more moments and see what the Holy Spirit does. Lord, we just want to embrace this time in your presence. And Lord, we don't want it to end here. We ask, Lord, that in the week, Lord God, that you will be with us. That we are temple, your temple, Lord, with your presence inside. And that where we go, Lord, our light will shine. That your presence will go with us. That other people who are facing storms, Lord, that they will sense your presence in us and on us, Lord. And I pray, Holy Spirit, and I thank you for the ministry you are doing this morning, that we don't have to do it, but that you are doing it here. We treasure that, and we worship you with all our hearts this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. You must have a wonderful Sunday. Enjoy the rest of the time. Enjoy the day, rest of the day, and be blessed. And if there's anyone and you feel you want to pray or agree about something, I will stay here for a while. Have a wonderful day. Amen.